This is a new voice for a new Scotland.
Hello, welcome to another week of the Locker Room here on Indie Live Radio. This is Michael speaking to you and Matthew. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, guys. How's things?
Not bad. How's your week been?
Not bad. It's always lovely and warm over here in Ireland. Not really. There's storms and the usual garbage over here. So, yeah, I might get out this week.
Yeah. Well, it's the same over here as well, but not sunny. It's still, wet and stuff like that. So, this is a kind of show every week on Indie Live Radio, looking at sport, but not. We try to not make it just like football, like other radio shows and stuff like that. I'll kind of move swiftly on just in case I get into trouble for saying that, but never mind. So coming up this week, we'll be talking about the FA Cup last weekend. And me and Matthew decided to put the Scottish football 11 together. So that's basically, obviously 11 players that played for the national team down the year. So I might be a bit biased here, Matthew, but I've got a brilliant, I think my 11 will beat your 11, I'm not fairly sure, but we'll find out later.
It'll cause arguments.
It'll cause arguments down the pub when they're back open. And we've got a bit of sport, we've got a bit of football news, and also, believe it or not, Matthew, we've got a bit of hockey, new ice hockey as well coming up this week. But I wanted to start with the FA Cup, because as you're aware, last weekend was the FA Cup quarterfinals, and to be honest, there were some good games in there. And the FA Cup quarterfinals as well. It's funny saying about the FA Cup in June that we're watching the FA Cup. I mean, we should be watching Scotland in the Euros by now.
Yeah, well, maybe not that, but definitely Wimbledon. Maybe not Scotland actually qualifying for a tournament. I think I was thinking back when the last time we qualified for a tournament, and I was still in high school.
Which
is quite scary, and I always remember these things because I think Stan Collymore was in the news for a little altercation in a pub in Paris at the time, just before we got beat up Brazil. So it's funny the things you remember from the World Cup in 98.
Exactly.
But yeah, the FA Cup, I suppose, was the thing you were talking about originally. I don't know how we got onto that. From the FA Cup to Stan Collymore in a pub.
I mean, it maybe gives it away that you follow Ashley's brother sometimes as well.
I know, definitely. But also, I think Ali McCoy's got involved. I don't remember him ever being involved in fisticuffs in my life, Ali McCoy's. But I think he somehow got involved in that pub altercation in Paris that night. But the FA Cup, we'll stick to that rather than going off onto Stan Collymore.
I think we'll move swiftly on. It's not a boxing show, even though it's a sports show, but it's not a boxing show. Oh. But yeah, the FA Cup was sweet. Some game last week, and I mean, the miss of the weekend must have been the Newcastle boy.
I mean, it was funny because Manchester City, the game at Newcastle, they were unbelievable. I mean, they looked almost like the old Barcelona when Pep was there, because they kept possession. They must have had about 70-80% of the ball. They looked like Newcastle were on the back foot. I think Newcastle at some points were camped in their own box, and Man City were still managing to pass it around them. So Manchester City looked really good, but even at that, it was 1-0, I think, and Newcastle had a horrendous miss, which I think is Manchester City's problem this year, is that they can dominate the ball, they can look unstoppable at times, it's nearly impossible to get the ball off them, but they do look a bit dubious on counter-attacks, and they are likely to be opened up, and I think that's the difference really this year between them and Liverpool, is that they do look a bit weak at the back. And again, Newcastle exploited that. I mean, at 1-0, they could have easily and should have been 1-1. I think it was Gale, who you're alluding to, missed that absolute gilt-edged chance that should have been 1-1. So, yeah, I mean, Man City, could, we're all over them, but it could have been 1-1 and the game could have been open again. But after that miss, Man City then went up and scored again. So they look pretty unstoppable in the tournament this year. But it's a good semi-final mix. I think Manchester United drew Chelsea and Arsenal take on Man City. And both the games are at Wembley on the 18th and 19th of July. It's just a shame that the games will be behind closed doors, but that's just the world we're living in. But we're on for a Manchester Derby final, possibly.
Now, I've got to give you thanks to Matthew about reminding me about the Newcastle boy at Misk, because I couldn't remember his name.
sometimes you're on this show and you know everything and you're prepared for everything and something pops up and your mind just goes blank, and I think it did last week as well. Sometimes your mind just disappears on you, but that's the world that, you know, we're doing this in one take, so we have to be forgiven, I think, for having a bit of a mind lapse. And we're getting on.
I think that's about me having a mind lapse 24/7 days a week. So we'll move swiftly on. But yeah, I mean, it's quite good to have, and, as I say, the Premiership back, the FA Cup back. But it's a wee bit, I don't know about you, I get a bit jealous by not seeing Scottish football. Hopefully that's coming back in August, and we've got some more news on that coming up later on in the show. But, Matthew, are you ready?
I don't know.
it's a big moment on the show. We've got a drum roll. Can you hear that? No, okay. Deafening you there, sorry. So, me and Matthew, right, decided to put the Scottish all-time 11 together. So that could be, you know, the players present or in the past, basically, and put them all together and make a team out of it, and hopefully one day we'll win the Fantasy World Cup.
We'll win a game.
Yeah, we'll win a game. In fact, I think by looking at my team, I think you'll win. You'll be in the quarterfinals. But I might be a bit biased. So
I think my team will do its usual. My team would be good enough to get knocked out in the group games on goal difference or something like that. The usual Scottish thing when we get to a tournament.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get lost getting a VR goal the last one.
Well, I don't. The last time we qualified for the tournament, was there television?
I think they were still horse and carts outside. I'm not very sure. So if you were sitting beside me, I would say heads or tails, but on you go first, Matthew.
Well, do you want to do our positions first, or do you want to just do the whole team first?
Yeah, just get the whole team first, yes, because that's what I've got. So,
all right, okay. Well, my goalkeeper is Andy Gorham. He obviously was one of Scotland's greatest keepers, I think, anyway. That's why he was in there. He had, 43 caps and managed to get to the World Cups in 86 and 90, and even qualified for Euro 92 and Euro 96. So, and he also single-handedly stopped a Tommy Burns Celtic side winning the league. But, so he's in goal. So it's Andy Gorham. Right back, I've got Danny McGrain. So he could play left or right back, I think. I think he mainly played left back for the international team, but I've got him at right back because I've got another player on left back. So Danny McGrain's in there. The two centre-backs, I've got Alan Hansen and Billy McNeil. Alan Hansen was obviously one of the first players that could pass a ball, really, even though the pitches were awful, but he could play from the back, so I thought he was quite good. And then Billy McNeil obviously doesn't really need to be explained. Obviously, the captain of the European Cup in 1967, but he played only 29 times for Scotland. He should have played a lot more for them, but I thought he was colossal for club and country when he did play. So I thought Billy McNeil won there with Hansen. And my left back is a recent player, would you believe, Andrew Robertson. I just think he's one of the best players in the world at the moment, especially at left back. So I've just went for a new up-and-coming sort of player, and Andy Robertson. So we'll put Robbo in there at left back. Our midfield, I've got Paul McStay, I didn't really know who to put in this position, so I put in Paul McStay only because he's one of the few players who have actually won a tournament for Scotland, would you believe? I think Scotland have only ever won one tournament in their time.
Was that the Keirin Cup or something?
Was it? I don't know if it had a sponsor or whatever. All I know, it was like a European under 18 tournament or something.
Oh, right. I thought you meant that. Okay. Never mind.
I think that's the only tournament Scotland have ever won, possibly. So, and I think he's also one of the, I think he's won more international caps for Scotland while playing at Celtic than most players. And I think he's also in the Scottish Football Hall of Fame. So, Paul McStay was an amazing player. So, I've got him in there with Graeme Souness. I thought Graeme Souness can do all the dirty work. He's obviously won everything as a player, and was one of the top midfielders. He's won European Cups and all sorts of stuff. So I had thought Graeme Souness will be a nice compliment to Paul McStay. A bit of style and hardness in there. My right winger is Jimmy Johnson. What can you say about Jimmy Johnson? I think he was one of the top class players. Speed, skill, control. He was brave. And he also got applauded when he came off at the Bernabeu when Celtic played there by the Real Madrid fans. So I had to go for Jimmy Johnson in there. Again, he didn't play for Scotland as much as he'd like, but I thought he can't leave Jimmy Johnson out. Left wing, I've got Eddie Gray, who played for Leeds during the 1960s and 70s. He was an amazing left winger. And one of the best, obviously Leeds were one of the best teams in the country in the 60s and 70s. So I thought I'll put Eddie Gray in there. And then up front, my two strikers, I don't know if there's much argument with this, but Kenny Dalglish, he wasn't quick, he wasn't slow, but his mind was just unbelievable. And he's still really sharp. So Kenny Dalglish is up front, and Dennis Law is my other striker. So he was good in the air, quick, brave. I think he won the European Player of the Year when he was at Man United. So he also sent Man United down for Man City, I think. So I thought I'll go for Dennis Law. And I don't know if you've included a manager, but I did include a management team as well. I know Jock Steen was there twice, but I went for the... I kind of cheated. I went for the Jock Steen Alex Ferguson management partnership.
Oh, that's a good team.
Manager team. So I think they were 1978 to 1986. Unfortunately, when Jock Steen died, he was in charge and Ferguson was second in command. And then obviously, unfortunately, when Jock Steen passed away, Ferguson took charge when they went to the World Cup in 86. So I thought that could be my management team. So again, it's Gordon McGrain, Hanson, McNeil, Robertson, McStay, Souness, Jimmy Johnson, Eddie Gray, Dennis Law and Kenny Dalglish.
Right. So if you don't know how old Matthew is, I think that team maybe gives that away a wee bit.
I'm not that old. I was at the tail end of a lot of these things.
Yeah, well, so just listening to your team there, right? We've got three of the players in that team the same.
All right, okay. Yeah. I thought there'd be more.
No. Okay, so do you want me to give you mine?
Go ahead, I'm desperate to hear.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have got your favourite goalkeeper because you did get back work for Hibs, I think it was. Jim Leighton.
All right.
Yeah, just because, you know, he was a brilliant goalkeeper in the 90s, playing for Hibs, but also played for Scotland as well. Tom Boyd played for Motherwell and Celtic. I think he was in the Motherwell Scottish Cup winning team in the early 90s, or no, was that?
I think that's right, yeah. Did they go to Chelsea at some point as well? Was it after that or before?
I never knew he went down to England, but he won the Scottish Cup under Tommy Burns. Remember they beat Airdrie 1-0?
I do, Van Hooydonk.
Yeah, exactly, with that funny celebration that he did. Yeah. he might have went down to England as well, Tomberg. I'm not actually sure about that.
Chelsea rings the bell.
Yeah, okay, so Tomberg, Corin Henley.
Oh.
Yeah, what did they call him, Braveheart?
Yeah.
Was that his nickname? Yeah.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I'm sure Sky dressed him up as a sort of William Wallace type when he was at Blackburn.
Fleegum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Blackburn, but also, did he not have a spell at another team as well? No. Or am I thinking
He did before he went to Blackburn. I'm sure he was at Manchester City for a period as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he came up to Rangers for a couple of seasons. Yeah. I think he won the league with Rangers as well. I'm not tired.
He did, yeah. I think he did.
So we've got Colin Handy. We've got Andy Webster.
Silence.
Yeah, silence is golden. Yeah, that's how I like to hear. Yeah, Andy Webster. I told you you would be a bit iffy about that. And the first one that me and you kind of like copied each other in a way was Andy Robertson. Because to be honest, you can't really look past Andy Robertson, you know.
No, I mean, what can you say? I don't think there's much argument about Andrew Robertson being in any best Scotland 11.
I think if you get into a debate in a pub, I think most people will debate about the whole team, but not a lot of people will debate over Andy Robertson being in your team.
No, and it's a shame because we're actually blessed at left back because we have Kieran Tierney as well. So
in typical
Scottish fashion, we've got two left backs who are probably up there with the best of the world.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Talking about Kieran Tierney for a minute, sorry. It's good to see him back now. Saying a few games for Arsenal. I digress there, sorry. Man United's captain Darren Fletcher. I think he won the European Cup as well with Man United, but I'm sure he played for another English team as well.
It's a shame for him because he's had these problems, isn't he? I mean, he could have went on to be anything, really. It's just a shame he's had these problems.
Exactly. And then we had the maestro himself, Paul McStay.
That was what the snigger was for when I said Paul McStay.
Because
you had them as well. You had them as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he was basically in that team in the 90s where you had like Paul McStay, Gary McAllister, Al McCoy, and I think Stuart McCall was in that team as well.
It was probably one of our last great teams or good teams.
Yeah, that was when we actually qualified for a tournament. And I think like we were talking earlier on because we do prepare for the show, believe it or not. And we were talking yesterday and we were talking about Andy Roxburgh was the manager of that team as well.
Yeah, because he came in, I think, was it Alex Ferguson took charge of the 86 World Cup? Mm-hmm. And I think after that, he then obviously dropped away. So he was the last of the sort of Steen and Ferguson management team. And then I think Roxburgh took over just after that. And then he went on a spell and it was his too, because his assistant was obviously Craig Brown.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And now I think he's at FIFA now?
Yeah, I think he's
went on. Yeah, one of the kind of Sammy spaghettis went missing. And also, I've got three strikers in my team.
Oh, have you, brave?
Yeah. Brave heart, yeah, that's me. James McFadden.
All right.
I mean, he scored that wonderful goal in France, remember?
I do, yeah.
Remember when we used to beat big teams like that?
It's a classic goal.
Exactly, yeah. And now he's... Oh, where's he went now?
Was that the game that Thierry Henry was playing? And he said... I think there was a game at Hampden and he came off raging and he said, we'll hammer them in Paris.
Yeah.
And then McFadden scored.
Yeah, because that was a sec. That was the second game away, wasn't it? And Scifford. 2-1 or something.
It was unbelievable. I think France were just assuming they would turn up in Paris and Well, I think everybody was assuming he'd turn up in Paris and beat us, but then McFadden.
Because to be honest, every Scotland fan wrote us off, but to be honest, that's been the same for the past 20 years. oh no, now I'm going to get millions of emails now. Aaron McCoisk.
I'm sure he's a good Bells Hill boy from Bells where Hill, that sort of grew up.
Rangers, St. Johnson, and Kilmarnock.
I always forget about Kilmarnock.
A lot of people forget about Kilmarnock, but we stay in Kilmarnock. And also, we went the same man again, Kenny Dalglish.
Can't leave out Kenny.
We've got to say well done to Kenny and everybody at Liverpool for winning the league. So that's my, that's my 11. Never went for any subs for that because I didn't want to get too serious. You know what I mean? And start saying, oh, I'm going to beat your team, Matthew, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I think I would have had Jim Leighton on the bench. And I'd have probably had Ali McCoist on the bench. I just couldn't dislodge Dalglish and Law.
So, that kind of sound right? Up front, would you have McCoist and Fagan up front? McFadden?
Obviously I went for Dalglish and Law, so I would say no, but they would be good on the bench.
Cool. So we'll put the moving swift there on now.
I thought you said your team would beat mine.
You
have a Hearts player in there.
I meant in a warm up. So we'll put these 11 up on our website, up on the Facebook page, because we've got a Facebook page now. Just look for the Locker Room on Facebook. So we've got our teams, like my team and Matthew's team. We'll put them up after the show. But also, if you have got like a favourite 11, and you think you're hard enough to come and beat us, maybe not, you can email us in, because we always like to play against other teams. At the email address is thelockerroom indielive@yahoo.com. So that's thelockerroom indielive@yahoo.com, and you can email us in with your favourite 11, but also your other points of view about sports, or maybe that if we're not talking about your kind of sport, why not email us in and we'll give it a wee mention by the way on the show. So you're listening to Indie Live Radio with me, Michael, and Matthew across the road in Ireland.
Exotic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's better than Motherwell, to be honest with you.
Only just.
And we are here every week to speak about sport and stuff. And also, if you've missed the show, I get repeated during the week, and also it gets uploaded as a podcast after the show as well, and you can have a wee listen to it. And I've got to say thanks for the people that's been listening to it, Matthew, because there's been millions of people, well, not millions, but there's been a lot of people listening to the show, so that's good to see and hear as well.
So, and not many people want to argue with us, so we must be talking sense.
Exactly, yeah.
It can't be right. It just can't be. Surely someone's got to argue with us.
Well, I mean, there might be an opinion now because I put Andy Webster in the team, but there you go.
I'll be in that queue.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's how I say it. So, and next week we're going for another 11 as well. Is that right, Matthew? Or?
Yeah, we can aim for, I think your idea was that, because I came up with the Scottish one and your response was, what was it, the best Scottish Premier League 11?
Yeah, that's going to be a bit more difficult, I would say.
Well, considering you had Webster in the team and I had McNeil and Hansen, I think it'll be a doddle, but
nothing up with Andy Webster. He's my hero.
This will follow you now.
Yeah, my new Twitter handle will be at Andy Michael. So let's move swiftly on now.
Let's not, Michael. Let's discuss Webster for a little.
Okay then. He's a blank for it. Okay. So yeah. So next week we're going to do a kind of FPL 11. Is that from like years gone past as well, like since the FPL started, or?
Yeah, we can do it. I don't know whether we start from the first Premier League era, or okay, whether we start from a more recent one. We'll have to maybe work that out, because there's been a few Premier League Premier Leagues, should I say, that have appeared. Yeah. So we could go all the way back to the start, or we could just start from the 1990s or 2000s. I don't know what. We'll have to think about that one.
We'll have a meeting about it. And we'll have a meeting about it. So back to that. That was us kind of like so called fantasy football teams that we had there. Andy Webster.
What happened there?
Yeah, what happened? What happened to Michael? Why they cut off from the show? Oh, I think Matthew pressed a button. More of that next week. So we're going to speak about the present day now, and you've got a bit of news on Rob Pickley of the SFA, Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was only yesterday the Scottish FA announced that President Petrie had stepped down from his duties with immediate effect on health grounds. So it was only a while ago. So it's just a shame, because Rod Petrie's quite a private person. So we don't know what's happened as such, but we just wish him a speedy recovery, really, because I don't know how long he'll be out for. I think Mike Mulroney, he's coming at a tough time, really, I suppose, as well, because with all the problems with Scottish football and COVID and things like that are going on, I think Mike Mulroney, who's come in as current vice president, he'll come in as president for the interim. He's got his hands full, but he's taken over for the time being. So we just wish Rod Petrie a speedy recovery.
Yeah, and also before that, it was the chairman at Hibs as well.
He was. I mean, he did a good job at Hibs. I mean, look at Easter Road now. I mean, it's one of the best stadiums in the country. They've got a training set up now as well, East Mains, that's one of the best in the country. So he did a good job there as executive. But obviously, he went on to the Scottish FA, and then there was a takeover by Ron Gordon at Hibs. And he stayed on, really, as the president of the Scottish FA. And he's done a really good job. It's just a shame that there's issues with his health, obviously, and he's had to move away from it for the time being. But hopefully he comes back.
Hope to hear him back. That's a first person I've heard go on the radio saying President Pickley. That's very nice touch.
I think it'd be better than President Trump anyway.
President Johnson. Anyway, moving on. The FPL fixtures come out on Monday, and believe it or not, I need to say this as well, because this show goes out and repeat on a Tuesday. So if you're listening to the show today on the Tuesday, that was yesterday, Monday. Do you follow me? No. I'm getting a bit mixed up myself. The FPL fixtures are going to come out now, but I was saying to you a few weeks ago that I'm happy to see this, but because of the court case between Hearts and Packet Thistle, I thought, Hearts and Packet Thistle, I thought the fixtures was going to be held up. But it's very good to see that the SPL fixtures will come out, and that's something that we'll speak about on next week's show.
Yeah, well, I mean, SPFL have been quite open with it, just in saying that no matter what happens with the court case, I think they were planning to go along as business as usual. And obviously the fixtures are coming out next week, so that'll be good to see. But obviously the court case is going, as you mentioned, is going on as we speak. So because this show is recorded when it is, it's hard to keep up to date with a lot of these things, because Scottish football seems to change by the second rather than by the minute.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I think Hearts and Partick Thistle are obviously in the court session at the moment, trying to reverse the relegation. I mean, as far as I know, I think the hearing on Wednesday just passed was obviously they are wanting to reverse the relegation, but the other clubs are stating that this shouldn't be in the court of law, it should be in the Scottish FA, and there should be a Scottish FA arbitration on it. So Dundee United, Raith Rovers and Cove Rangers in particular are hoping that it goes back to the Scottish FA, but Hearts and Partick Thistle obviously wanted to stay in the courts and try and reverse the relegation. So we'll know, by the time the fixtures come out, we'll know what the outcome of the court case will hopefully be by then. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'd be amazed if they stopped the season starting.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also be amazed if they actually were reinstated. I mean, my guess would be that they'll get compensation for their respective relegations, but I can't imagine they'll be reversed at this point. But who knows?
And not only that, the SPFL will be a bit annoyed, but Sky will be a bit annoyed as well, because they called the shots for Scottish football as well in terms of giving the teams money.
Well, yeah, they have a contract. So their contract stipulates that there has to be 4 Celtic and Rangers games a year. If Hearts are reinstated, and if they have to reinstate, maybe or they have to put up another club to even that out, how will that result in the 4 Celtic and Rangers games being played? It's a complete mess. I mean, I don't think Sky are too bothered about how the Premier League looks as such, as long as there's the 4 Celtic and Rangers games.
And I mean, it'll be good to see them back, but don't forget that all the football will be on the TV now. And I think we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, and the guy's name kind of escapes me at the moment, but Jamie Anglis, is that right? Yeah. He's kind of put money into Scottish football. So I think he's actually put it to most of the SPFL clubs and also the first division clubs as well, or maybe it's good to Premiership clubs for them to get for their games to be shown on the website, because at the moment the fans are not allowed back in.
I think the money that he had, I think, is going across the board, and really it's up to clubs really how they want to use James Anderson's money. But I think a lot of it, some of the lower league teams especially, are using the money, just as you say, you know, to set up online TV so fans can watch it. Some other clubs who already have that facility are obviously using it for COVID testing and things like that. So it was a really, well, it was a needed intervention, I think, or Scottish football would have really been in trouble. But also, I think he put money into the women's game, which was important. But this week as well, I don't know if you saw, there was an anonymous donation to Scottish women's football this week.
Oh, yeah.
Women's football received £100,000 from somebody. Now, I don't know how that money's yet to be distributed or how that's going to be set up or whatever, because I've only just seen it today. But obviously, that's a good bit of a good news story for the women's game, because like we were saying, they were doing really well. It was positive for women's football, and then obviously COVID hit. But James Anderson's money and this anonymous donation will really help women's football maintain the high standard that they've been doing up to now.
And also gives a footnote of a couple of football bits of news coming out of Aberdeen as well, that this week it was reported that one Aberdeen player has been tested positive for the coronavirus, and we don't actually know who that is, but whoever it is, get well soon and stuff. But he's been told not to appear at the training ground at the moment until, I think it's like 7 days that you've got to kind of like be in a kind of like semi-lockdown. And also the Aberdeen chairman, and I can't remember his name, I'm having a good week this week. He's basically come out and said that the Aberdeen fans might be allowed back in Pickogley by September. But I mean, to be honest, a lot of football teams are saying that at the moment. So, but
I suppose with the Aberdeen player, it's a shame really, because, well, it shows you testing works. Because I think it was discovered during the twice weekly testing that he did have COVID and he was asymptomatic. So it's good that the testing obviously brought that up, and the club have been following strict protocols up to now. So I think they're quite happy that the testing has brought this up and he can self-isolate, and that, as far as I know, from what they've said, no other players or coaching staff are at risk because of it. So that's a good thing. But also what you were saying about the Aberdeen fans being allowed back into the stadium, it's strange because we're having all these mixed messages. I think with COVID, it's caused mixed messages across the board, and it's not just football that seems to be suffering from all the mixed messages. But obviously, I think Aberdeen have come out, like you were saying, and saying, well, we could have fans back in September. I think Celtic have previously spoke about having fans maybe tentatively back in maybe from August sort of time, but the Scottish Government, I think, have said that there'll be no fans really back in the stadium initially at the start of the seasons, except that there may be test events. Mm-hmm. So August, September, they may be choosing maybe a football game or a rugby game, and maybe saying, right, we can have 1,000 fans or 2,000 fans into Murrayfield or Celtic Park for one event, and we'll see how it goes, and we'll test and see how it plays out and what needs to be done and what can be done better. So I think Celtic have said that they are interested in doing that, and Scottish Rugby are saying that they're interested in doing that in Murrayfield, but possibly those two are the big stadiums that can be used for the test safely. I don't know if Pittodrie and would fit that sort of criteria as such, but obviously Murrayfield and Celtic Park are such large arenas that you could maybe have test games in there with 1,000 fans, maybe 2,000 fans, something like that.
Maybe Hampden as well, you know, but yeah, obviously they don't want to be too Glasgow heavy, if you know what I mean by that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Murrayfield obviously can be used for soccer and rugby at east of Scotland, and then obviously Hampden and Ibrox and Celtic Park can be used in the west of Scotland for the football and stuff. So There is choices for stadia that can be used to do these test events, and like I said, but I suppose I only said Murrayfield and Celtic Park, because Celtic and the SRU are the only ones so far who've come forward and said they were interested in doing these test events. But Hampden and Ibrox are obviously large enough to be used as well.
Okay, no doubt we'll speak about that in the coming weeks on the show, and also next week we'll look at some of the games coming up in August to kind of whet your appetite, as you say, as well. So moving on to the small ball game. Did you write what I dig there, Matthew? Small ball game. So we're going to be... Oh, no, it's not a ball. It's a puck to play.
Yeah.
I've got millions of emails coming in now saying, no, it's not a ball, it's a puck. So we're going to speak about ice hockey now, because basically, I don't know if you want to set the scene, Matthew.
Well, I suppose initially, from a general point of view, when people see the fact that Bray Head might be closing, they might think, oh goodness, where am I going to go for my shopping and things like that. But because we are such sport fanatics, Michael. We looked at that news and we thought, oh, hold on a minute, that's not just bad news for shopping. Basically, Glasgow Clan play their Elite League ice hockey games at Brayhead Arena. And basically, the owners of Brayhead and two properties have went into administration. So there was rumours, obviously, as to what is going to happen to Brayhead. Now, Glasgow Clan have came out and said, or tried to confirm, that their home, which is the Brayhead Arena part of Brayhead, will remain operational while KPMG assess options for the assets. So basically, the Elite League Ice Hockey will be hoping to start their season in September after last season was cancelled on the 13th of March. So the season wasn't long in going, but obviously it was cancelled and they're hoping to start the new season in September. But Glasgow Clan obviously have a worry as to where they'll play their home games because of Brayhead Arena. And even though they say that it's going to be operational while KPMG assess the situation, it's no guarantee that they'll be able to play there long term. So there's a bit of worry there as to where they'll play if Brayhead does have to sadly close the doors. And it is an amazing venue to watch ice hockey in, as well as other things, but it's very good for ice hockey. So it'll be a shame if that has to close and Glasgow Clan obviously have to change their venue.
I've been to Brayhead in the past and for other sports. I've told you about like boxing and all that and the tennis as well. It's a good atmosphere.
Definitely, and it's really good for ice hockey. It's enclosed, it's good, it's got a good family environment. Because it's so enclosed, the atmosphere can be quite good. The ice hockey itself is an amazing spectacle to watch, and Glasgow Clan are normally up there and doing quite well, challenging. There's quite a few Scottish teams, but Brayhead Arena is probably the best arena to watch ice hockey in Scotland. So it will be a shame if that has to close down. But obviously there is that doubt while KPMG are assessing all the assets of Brayhead.
In fact, am I not right in saying, Matthew, that a few years ago they used to hold the seven-a-side football for the kind of old players of like Celtic, Rangers, Hearts and Hibs, and like, do you remember like the 10 and 6s?
I do. I'm old enough to remember the 10 and 6s. I do enjoy that.
Yeah,
and I think you were talking about...
I'm old enough now, but they used to hold that Brayhead as well. Well, not the 10 and 6s, but something similar.
Yeah, I think you're talking about the Masters. Was it a Masters tournament? And it went around everywhere. Right. So
I went
to a few of them. I was living in Birmingham at the time, so I went to, I think there was a Scottish Masters and there was a North West Masters and there was a Midlands Masters and things like that. So I used to go to the Scottish one and the West Midlands one when I was living in Birmingham, and they were always very good. It was always good seeing the old players play. And Brayhead Arena is perfect for things like that. And it's one of the best indoor arenas we have in Scotland, so it would be unfortunate if something was to happen to it.
Yeah, I used to go to it, and it was quite a good atmosphere at it as well. And it was I've never been to the hockey, but I've seen it when I've went to Brayhead to do my shopping. And it seems like a family event, you know.
They are more family events, I think, than a lot of sports. I mean, they do focus on it. There's a lot of kids that go there, and obviously because it's indoors. For once, the Scottish weather doesn't really affect it, because obviously sometimes you might not want to bring your young kids to the football or the rugby because it's outside, but because it's inside, families can go there and you don't have to worry about getting soaked. You might get a bit of ice in the face, but getting soaked is not a problem.
So has Brayhead Clan actually come out with a quote this week about it, or have they kept quiet about it?
Well, I think it's they don't really have any concrete information. I mean, I think KPMG are in... I mean, it's the company who own Brayhead own 17 UK shopping centres across the country. So it's not just Brayhead that's involved in this. But I think, obviously, from our point of view, Brayhead's the more important one sporting-wise. But KPMG are currently looking at it. So even though Glasgow Clan, like I say, they are saying that they'll still be able to use it, that will be obviously determined on what KPMG come up with at the end of their assessment of the situation.
oh, watch this space and see what happens.
Yeah.
So it's quite sad because this was the start of Wimbledon Fortnite, and obviously it's been cancelled again. I think this is the first time Wimbledon has been cancelled since the first World War. Is that right? Or
well, I mean, it's one of those things, Wimbledon, because unless there's a football event on, like the World Cup or the European Championships, or there's a rugby event on, Wimbledon tends to take up the vast majority of sport and space in July in this country. And the obviously the English can wait and see which person finally knocks out their English favourite tennis player. And obviously us up here, we can watch Andy Murray try and actually win the thing. it's been quite good in recent years that, you know, Andy Murray is British until he loses and then he's Scottish. So we won't have that this year at least. But it's a shame that it's not on, and I think reruns are being played as we speak to try and get us in the Wimbledon spirit of things. but it's a shame it's not on, and obviously there's another event in Scotland at least as well, the Melrose Sevens. That was another one, because you mentioned the war, and that's what struck to mind. I think the Melrose Sevens was originally on in April, so it's not quite like Wimbledon in the sense that normally it's on in April, but they cancelled it and they were hoping to play the Melrose Sevens maybe sometime this year, but they've had to cancel the Melrose Sevens, and that was the first time it's been cancelled since the Second World War, which links into what you were saying about Wimbledon. So yeah, the Melrose Sevens was cancelled this year, and that's the first time since the Second World War. So we really do live in times we've never seen before. You know, I suppose these events are only cancelled for World Wars. It just shows you how far COVID's affected everything.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we'll look back in about 15 years, Matthew, and hopefully, and then we'll say, oh, remember that time that everybody was in lockdown for about 3 months?
Yeah.
And stuff.
And the kids won't believe us.
No, exactly. Uncle Albert. okay, well, thanks for joining us this week on the Locker Room. Don't forget, we're looking for your Scottish Football 11. So that could be from, what, the 70s all the way up till today, or maybe the 60s, Mafia, if people's come back. Email us in your favourite team at the locker room indylive@yahoo.com. I will say that again. It is the locker room at indylive@yahoo.com. Also, you can check us out on Facebook as well. Just go to the Locker Room on Facebook and leave a comment on there. So thanks for joining us this week on the show. Keep it here on Indie Live Radio. Plenty of more shows and all that coming up. And we will see you next week. Have a good week. And yeah, stay safe and take care.
This is a new voice for a new Scotland.
IndieLive.radio.